Look through your kitchen cabinet. It's likely you have a ceramic plate or bowl. Most are made in factories these days, but many of our Appalachian ancestors made their pottery by hand. Today, a lot of artists still make pottery, but it's rare to find someone who sources their own clay. A potter in Preston County, West Virginia, uses traditional techniques, digging up clay in his own backyard. Our Folk Life reporter, Caitlin Tan, has the story.
Mel Sword's house is a little off the beaten path. It's a lengthy drive off the main road.
Hi! I was hoping I had the right place.
There's a large grassy meadow in front of and behind his house. To the left is his shop where he makes his pottery. Mel wears narrow circle glasses, a rugged workshop apron. He talks to you like you're old friends. Before I can shake his hand, he tells me about the special kind of dirt on his property.
After time, it turns to shale. See, this is, you know, but this was clay at one time.
Mel specifically bought this piece of property because of the clay. While building his home, he piled all the clay into a large mound behind his house.
See that pile up there? That's all clay.
That pile is about 7 feet tall and 15 feet wide.
I have a lifetime plus.
It doesn't look like the big blocks of clay one typically sees. It looks more like heavy dirt. It's technically clay soil right now, but it's the timely process of turning that soil into a moldable product that Mel enjoys. It's a process potters had to do before the industry was commercialized. Renee Margosi is a professional potter and executive director of the Tamarack Foundation for the Arts. She says in the early days in Appalachia, people had to source their own clay too, much like Mel.
Pottery is just something that is actually a necessary thing to have in your life. Clay is something that can be found everywhere. And so you can literally use what is close at hand to create an object that is utilitarian.
Mel's been making pottery for much of his life, but he really only started digging clay about 15 years ago for, well, love. He took his then-girlfriend, now-wife, camping outside of Morgantown.
We were hiking through the rain. I saw the clay water coming off the hill, and I knew that there was clay there. So I just went over there and scooped a little bit of it up.
And he formed the clay into little round beads and left them in the campfire coals. And in the morning, he said,
"Here, sweetie, here's some West Virginia pearls."
And that's become Mel's side business in retirement. He's the person who can make you West Virginia pearls. Renee says hand-digging clay is labor-intensive, and it's not for everyone, especially when it's turned to a chunky, dry substance.
There will be a lot of different organic matter in, so there might be twigs and rocks and burrs.
That's the sound of Mel using what looks like a very large mortar and pestle. He handmade it out of a garage door spring, some pipe, and a few other things lying around. He's crushing up the chunky dry clay into a fine sand.
After this is pulverized some, I just put it in this screen.
It's basically a window screen that keeps bugs out. Mel uses it to filter out the twigs and rocks as he slowly pours the clay sand into a bucket.
So, you know, I just keep doing this until the bucket is full.
He says it takes him about 4 hours to fill 1 5-gallon bucket.
I'm the kind of person who likes to do monotonous jobs. And this is very monotonous. And then, come in here, I'll show you. And after that,
he adds water until it's a thick, muddy substance using a drill attached to an old paint stirrer. Good. After several days, Mel removes any excess water that doesn't absorb using a
turkey baster.
The clay then sits in a mold that absorbs any remaining moisture. And after that, Mel's ready to work. He still likes to use a foot pedal powered table or a kick wheel to make things like pots, bowls, and mugs. And although there are electric powered tables these days, that's not Mel's style. In his studio, the surface of the table spins around and around. It looks kind of like a spool. The hunk of red clay sits in the middle, and Mel is able to shape it with his hands while the wheel spins. He's making a mug.
And you want to get the piece centered. You want to center it through and through. There. It's pretty good now.
And this is something Mel does pretty much year-round. He sells some of his work, but it's not his objective. He just really enjoys the process of it all. And Renee says every potter should have that intimate experience with clay at least once. Although she admits that if one wants to sell pottery on a large scale, processing found clay is not the most efficient. However, it is still a part of our Appalachian history.
There's a romantic element to understanding it from the beginning to the end. And there's extreme value in that.
Mel hopes to invite students in sometime to teach them his process. But if you want to try to find some West Virginia clay, Mel suggests keeping your eyes peeled after a rainstorm, especially on muddy back roads. Look for red spines in the ditch or in the banks of rivers. Who knows? Maybe you'll even be able to try your hand at a West Virginia pearl. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Caitlin Tan in Preston County.
That story about a potter's love for digging clay is part of a recent episode of Inside Appalachia. The episode is a special Valentine's show dedicated to Appalachian love stories. It's not too late to listen. Find it at wvpublic.org. Musician and composer Marcus Reuter is not a household name, but Eclectopia host Jim Lang says his new album, Truce, may change that. Lang has this profile.
When we enter the world of touch guitarist and composer Marcus Reuter, we're not in Kansas anymore. When did music come into your life?
I think very early on when my mother was listening to the radio in the 70s. But really, it was in 1982, so when I was 10 years old, I was at a live show, a Mike Oldfield concert, and that's really when music took over.
Mike Oldfield being a hero of yours, if I could use that word.
Yeah, because he is like doing everything himself. He's a player, composer, producer, and I really was impressed by that, and I guess he was sort of a role model for a long time. And I guess like experiencing his music and that very first live show kind of made me the person that I am now.
Would you explain to us touch guitar?
A touch guitar is basically an instrument that's designed for this playing technique that is called the touch technique or touch style, where the eight fingers of two hands are used to actually tap notes on the fretboard. So rather than on a standard guitar, people pluck with one hand and fret with the other, but on my instrument, I actually produce the notes with just one finger, by tapping or hammering the finger down onto the string.
So how did the new album Truce come about?
My musical interest is kind of ever-changing, but one of the things that I've not really done so far was to actually present myself as a virtuoso or as like an authority of sorts in terms of when it comes to playing the musical instrument. I'm usually more interested in the music than in the performance. But I've started working with this wonderful person, Leonardo Pofkovich, who is a label owner, a music lover, and a music supporter from New York City. He has supported me in the past few years, and he kept saying, Marcus, you need to record a guitar album. And what he means by that is an album that is focusing on me as a player of the touch guitar. So it was basically his idea. And we were in a studio in Spain in May last year, in 2019. And there were two wonderful players, Asaf and Fabio, both friends of mine. And we just got together and we had a one day and we recorded these seven pieces that you hear on the album. It was really just wonderful happy, lucky day, and this album came together.
So last week I played Swoonage. Talk about Swoonage.
Swoonage is the one piece that was meant to be more of a ballad. So it's slower and it has this really melodic bass line. And also, it's funny because it's just 3 minutes and 20 seconds long or something. Relaxed, beautiful, but still, I don't know. I'm lacking the words. Maybe you can say something about it.
I would say it would be the track on the album for the ladies.
Oh yes. Well, it's called Swoonage for a reason.
Gossamer Things. Can you talk about that piece?
What I remember about this piece was that bass line was so wonderfully strong that we were singing it all night long after the recording session. I even imagined it being sung by a choir when I was, after the recording session, I was thinking, okay, how can we arrange these pieces, blah, blah, blah. But it has this wonderful vocal quality. It's kind of an interesting time signature, but it flows and rolls. And what I kind of like about the whole album, but in particular about Gossamer Things, it's that it kind of brings the album to a real emotional close. I mean, like with every single project and every single album I'm putting out, I'm hoping for something to happen, something to change for me. And I have to say, Truce is maybe the most promising in that regard. I'm finally starting to show a side of myself that I've sort of kept in the dark for such a long time. I think it's really the influence of having become a father. Like when the album was recorded, my wife was 4 months pregnant. So I can already feel this influence of Uma, my daughter, in this album. Marcus is changing, is being more open and more out there, presenting himself and, you know, being more confident. And that's really what the album kind of represents for me at the moment. And I'll see what the future brings.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jim Lang.
Jim Lang is the host of our radio show Eclectopia. You can hear more from Marcus Reuter's album Truce during that program, which airs Friday evenings at 10 and Saturday evenings at 11 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our news director and producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.